on. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Put the belt on, fam.
Yeah, man. You know, I almost forgot who I was for a second, man. Hey.
Hold on.
Yo, what is going on? How is your life? How is your world? We hope well, because we're going to have to send well wishes to at least one wrestler in this shit. Episode, man. But hey, that still does mean it's time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So without further ado, it is time for the first Black Champ podcast, and I am still your podcast Intercontinental Champion, Camp from the Port.
Now I'm JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Check us out at The Barber Shed Digital. Make sure you go ahead and get that emergency camp with the red on. So go ahead and cop that. Yep. You see, I got the Everybody You Like Ain't Over.
Man, boy, is that a great shirt for this week.
Man, so y'all make sure y'all go ahead and get that merch. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, FBC.POD, FBC underscore POD. Lots to talk about today. First off, shouts out to the whole NXT roster last night for NXT Halloween Havoc, aka Triple H wants WCW and WWE.
Yeah, man.
Know what I'm saying? So shouts out to him for bringing back Halloween Havoc. A great night of wrestling last night. Bron Breakker won his triple threat against Dragunov and JD McDonagh. Mandy Rose won her match. Roxanne Perez, she got it in. Julius Creed looked like a star in the making last night against Damon Kemp. Damon Kemp's weird to me, fam. He's like, he was at a place, like, body-wise. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, like I'm fat, so I'm not saying this. Like, his body type and his talk, I don't be expecting him being, like, in a major match. Mm-hmm. Like, even when he talked, like, I talk shit about our man on Raw. And I think I've been, you know, I feel like I've won in that one, because all of the shit that's happened, the announcer team don't make me sound like it's some urgent shit that's going on. It makes me feel like some shit went down, but you know what? We all happy. Apollo Crews is now the Undertaker, it feels like. he won a casket match. The lights went off. Well, he got thrown into a casket. It was a wooden casket at that. Like, it wasn't even an Undertaker-type casket. But he went through the casket, and they didn't stop the match. The lights went off. He got out the casket, and it was a new casket right there. The whole shit was weird, man.
Hey.
The whole shit was weird. I'm still confused on what that was supposed to be, or what Apollo Crews is supposed to be. However, in a loss, to me, the biggest star, well, in a win and a loss, the biggest stars of the night were the new NXT North American champion, Wesley, and the former NXT North American champion, Carmelo Hayes. Now, for those who didn't see the match, it was a ladder match with Wesley, Carmelo Hayes, Oro Mensah, Von Wagner, and Nathan Frazier. Ladder match for the NXT North American Championship. Solo Siaka dropped the belt after he beat Carmelo Hayes, and he was not supposed to be in the match, so they dropped it. Ladder match, boom. And Wesley, who went through a little bit of turmoil in NXT because his tag team partner was released because of some wild allegations. So Wesley was out here in purgatory. And it's good to see him now as the NXT North America champion. But, Kemp, before we get to Melo, because Melo don't miss.
Okay.
Melo don't miss.
What Sheamus said, as his tweet said, what Sheamus said before this match, like 2 weeks ago.
What was that?
Because you know, Sheamus thing is banger after banger after banger. And then, like, he just posted all of his matches, like, basically, as like, and he was like, yo, no, I got, like, you know, when you did the commercial break, I got them too. I got all of them.
So, want to shout out the WWE, NXT, and the North American Championship, Kemp. Because I don't think we noticed this until last night. At least I did.
Okay.
This is the belt for black people. Didn't realize that until last night, this morning.
Hey, man. Three already, right? Or is it four?
Well, let's go down the list.
Okay.
Ricochet is your first black NXT North American champion.
That is true.
He defeated Adam Cole, baby. Then Velveteen Dream is your second.
Shit. Damn, yeah.
Black North American champion. Wow. Your third is Keith Lee.
There you go.
Keith Lee is number three. Number four is Leon Ruff. Remember, he shockingly defeated Johnny Gargano. Yeah. Your number five is...
Johnny Wrestling. Okay.
There you go. Your number five is Swerve Scott.
Damn.
Yeah. And number six is Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah.
Which means we are at black champ number seven.
Yeah,
because
man.
Because Wes Lee is now your NXT North American champion. Now, pause that for a second. That's just black people.
Right.
You want to go people of color?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. We already
Damian
did.
Priest is a person of color.
Yeah, shout out to Puerto Rico.
Right. No, Puerto Rican Vampiro. He's a former North American champion. We want to go to Samoa or New Zealand. Bronson Reed is a former NXT North American champion.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, Solo Siaka is a former NXT North American champion. So black and people of color, has been 10 champions. This title has had more black champs than AEW combined. Your thoughts?
Yeah, hey, one, shit, we got to support NXT in a greater fashion. I won't lie, I've been slipping. I ain't been watching because I literally forgot Ricochet, Ruff, and Velveteen Dream had the title, but it's almost like we were supposed to forget about Velveteen Dream, but I get it. But man, that is, you know what? I'm really happy about that.
Okay.
Because even from my era, our era of wrestling fans, we didn't really get a lot of North American champions. We got US champions, Intercontinental champions. So for the
they merged that belt.
Yes.
And the greatest Intercontinental Championship tournament ever.
Yes.
In Rio de Janeiro, where Pat Patterson became the Intercontinental Championship and one of the greatest tournaments of all time. Y'all got to see it.
Yeah, no, correct.
Yeah, go on Google because it's not on the network. Go on Google.
Yeah, you definitely got to. And I'm surprised since, you know, obviously Pat Patterson's unfortunate passing and all of that, and you know, why not show the tournament that he won on the network? But
yeah.
I mean, maybe Vince just ain't bought it yet.
Maybe we ain't got the rights to that Intercontinental
Championship. You know what I'm saying? But back to my original statement is with the revamping and the rejuvenation of this era and even our era now, getting an education on the North American title, it will have seven black faces on it, and that's major. That is major by any stretch. I mean, even when you look at, you know, what Bobby Lashley is doing with the WWE Championship. And you look at what, I guess you can look at what Scorpio Sky is doing.
Did.
And, of course, you know, you got New Day tag titles, Big E. But even with the progress that the other major titles have made, we haven't seen the North American title or any wrestling title of any stature be this black. It's almost to the point where all of us should just go out and buy the NXT North America title because we know that's our belt.
Yeah, that's our belt.
Like, that's ours.
That's ours. That's, look, you can have all these other ones.
Yeah.
That belt is ours.
Yeah. Hey, they brought it back and it's black than the motherfucker.
There you go.
That's what it is.
That's all that matters in this case. This is first Absolutely. Black champ. We celebrate everybody, but of course we celebrate our black champions. Shout out to Carmelo Hayes and Wes Lee and every other black champion. Like, if you look at the wall, you know, they had the music in the background. You're going to see seven black faces.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You're going to see seven black faces. And the North American Championship is supposed to be like the Intercontinental Championship, and the United States Championship is supposed to be the mid-card. But more than anything, shouts out to Melo, because Melo don't miss. Mm-hmm. And Melo made that belt the A championship. I will go on record as saying that, to me, it is Melo, Bron Breakker. This is the hierarchy. Even though Bron Breakker is the NXT World Champion, Melo don't miss. And speaking of Melo don't miss, he had a whole heap of praise thrown on him by Shawn Michaels. We know Shawn Michaels, who's been promoted to Senior Vice President of Talent Development Creative last month. He says this about Carmelo Hayes. He thinks he is one that is ready anytime someone wants to have him on the main roster. This is a quote directly from him. I've taken interest in Melo from day one. I remember wanting to get him on television as quickly as I could. I was talking to him and I was like, I just want to get you out there, get you in front of people, in front of Hunter. And I don't want to be limited, you to be limited to the, you know, now defunct 205 Live. And I know, but it is more important for me to get you out there. Mm-hmm. That is big praise from Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, man.
And I've said on this show many a times that, you know, that's Shawn Michaels' black son. that's Shawn Michaels' black son. And he is proving that by his quotes, by his talk. You know, he says that he's special, he's talented. He said that I gave him the same line I was given many years ago, which is go ahead and push the envelope, go out there, and let me pull you back. So do your thing. Let me pull you back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know, as you said, that you have not been heavy in the NXT, but we all know who Melo is. Like, where do you see Melo on the main roster?
This is a loaded question because I think specifically SmackDown, with who's over there, he would be a great fit. However, I kind of want him to fall back only because it's been so many re-signs, it's been so many reappearances that you got to start making it make sense.
Okay.
And I don't think it hasn't been too many. Like, it's been people coming back but making appearances on NXT, but not coming back to NXT. Yeah. So at some point, you got to think like, hey, man, look, success is sweet here. Even though the paycheck might be iller and the TV time might get me more eyes, the legacy is built over here, so this might be the route. I kind of look at it like, as a parallel analogy, I look at it as why Currency never signed the major deal when Wiz did. He was like, hey, you know what? That is honestly real cool what you're doing. This shit dope, and you rich as fuck. But I don't think Jet Life is going to make it this far doing that right now. So he waited like a decade and then did it. And it didn't hurt him at all. It just got him more money later. I think that's kind of the approach that a few people from NXT should take, because Carmelo Hayes is obviously a big star in the wrestling world right now.
Right.
But, and of course, you know, me always just fearful of just black champ treatment, just being honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if like right now is the time until we either see some more cuts or we see some people come back to NXT and stay there.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Do I think he's ready for the main roster? Yeah, I've been thought he was ready for the main roster.
Yes.
But now in this Triple H world, I think you got to sort things out.
Yeah, man.
And I don't want anybody to get lost right now. Not saying that he would, but the way I see Buddy as potential money in the year two.
Yeah.
And I don't mind him going after Bron Breakker and the NXT championship and just kicking it there for a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of him being in the middle of the pack and trying to find his way. Sometimes it's cool being the big fish in a small pond. And I think in this case, I'm cool with him being that.
Yes.
Didn't want him in Hit Row because I didn't think that would be right.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, let's look what they did with Legado de Fantasma. You know, they removed old girl out, and then they brought in, you know, our girl. You know what I'm saying? Zelina Vega. Yeah. I'm not mad at that, but it's easy to do that because, what, they all Hispanic. So let's put the Hispanics together.
You know? Right, yeah. That's, you know? I mean, that's what.
And then let's get the bigger name Hispanic woman and bring her over here. Like, that's okay. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, it ain't about me. It's about the roster, and it's about the WWE Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Put that man on Raw. Because Raw is the B show right now. Like, Raw is the B show. It's all three hours of it. Back to that now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mainly because Sami Zayn is taking the world by storm. We still got the bloodline and all that. When it comes to mid-card championships, ain't nobody beating Gunther right now.
Yeah.
And he can have a great match with anybody. That's why I can't wait for him to slap Rey Mysterio to hell and back. Him and Rey Mysterio is going to have him in a nice joint. But looking at everybody that's over there on SmackDown is top heavy. You could put him on Raw and keep him at a level where he's seen and don't have to take a lot of L's by putting him against a whole bunch of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people that you could put him in matches with that can help him excel. Like, yeah. I honestly, I would love to see him against Judgment Day. And most notably, Dominic Mysterio. Because I love to see him talk shit to Dominic Mysterio. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't wait for that. But the caveat here is Trick Williams. What the fuck do you do with Trick?
Good, really good question.
Does Trick come with him? Or does Trick stay down at NXT? I think Trick, and I don't want nobody to get this wrong, because it's not. If you know how I feel about this person, you know that it means well. Trick is the 2022-23 version of Mr. Slick.
Okay.
In this case. He's slick. I don't need Trick to wrestle.
Yeah.
I don't need that from him. But his... He can talk, and of course, Melo can talk, and they could go back and forth with each other. I don't want to see Trick wrestle. Let me just say this first and foremost, because I'm not a fan of Trick wrestling. What I am a fan of is Trick being, what's my man name that used to be with Muhammad Ali? Mavidi. I like that for him. I like being that mouthpiece. I don't want to see Trick wrestle. Trick in NXT without Melo is Future Endeavor.
Yeah.
That's it. But I like Trick. And again, I like Trick as a mouthpiece. So I see Trick as being that mouthpiece for Melo and the WWE main roster. And somebody who could take the bumps for him when Melo can't take the bump. To continue to make him look strong. Because the thing about it is that you gotta make Melo look strong without making him take a lot of losses or getting his ass beat. Trick, that's your job.
Yeah.
Get your ass beat for Melo if he does go to the main roster. Mm-hmm. But I want to see Melo versus Bron Breakker for the NXT Championship WrestleMania weekend.
No doubt. And, you know, and to your point on Slick, if you all notice, for the majority of his career, they put him with all the people that really couldn't talk or were just on the fence with talking. You know, that's why, you know, you put him with the Big Boss Man early, and then he was able to transition out by himself, but then he had Akeem, and then he gave him Kamala. Then they, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, and that is the really interesting part about a lot of wrestling today. They put all the talkers together, but they don't put the dude that or the woman that can really, really talk with the person that really can't or just shouldn't. like, my man with Bron Breakker might be pretty good for a good 6 months because that might get him in a better rhythm. But then again, you know, but the lineage that Bron Breakker comes from, you know, once you got it, you're going to get it. And once you get it, you got it.
Yeah, the good thing about anybody in the Steiner family is not knowing how to talk is knowing how to talk.
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
That's the whole point of being a member of the Steiner family. Because I was watching Halloween Havoc 89. And I didn't know what the fuck the Steiner brothers was talking about. But the shit was provocative. It got me going. And they went up against Doom, and Doom won. And I was like, yeah, I forgot about this match. I was happy.
Man.
So, yeah. But that's my thing about Trick. In this case, Trick knows how to talk. He knows how to be a foil. He knows how to be a hand. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in wrestling, it's great to have the two people go back and forth. Not comparing them to these people, but when you put Shawn Michaels and Triple H together for DX, it wasn't even about the wrestling. It was about seeing those two and the crazy shit that they was going to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what made DX in the beginning great. It wasn't about the wrestling. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rick Rude was going to come down there and not say shit. China was going to come down and she was going to fold her arms. Mm-hmm. But Triple H and Shawn Michaels was going to tell somebody to do some stupid shit and somebody was going to do it, or they were going to do some crazy shit or talk shit to you and then look at each other and be like, oh. And that's what Trick and Mello is to me. Except I don't want to see Trick wrestle. I just want to see Trick take a clothesline or two while Mello is outside of the ring like, oh. That way Trick doesn't get his, I mean, that way Mello doesn't get his ass whooped and it brings him down. But Trick is doing whatever he can for the homie. And that's what Trick's job is. Trick's job is whatever the homie need, I'm going to get it out there. I'm going to make sure the homie, I'm going to take the bullet for the homie. I'm going to go on the send-off missions for the homie. That's what Trick is. Trick is the first Black person in the history of wrestling that is legit only there for the send-off mission. That's it. Now, if you from where we from, or if you're around what we've been around in our lives, you know what send-off missions is.
Right.
The person that you get to do the dumb shit for you while you sit back and watch. That's Trick's job. He's the send-off man.
Yeah.
Mello needs the send-off man. Don't leave the send-off man in NXT. Take him with you.
Yeah.
So then when you are, let's say he goes up there as a heel, right? So let's say, give me a face on Raw, like in the mid-card.
Oh, because it's been on my mind, I was going to say Big E, but I'm sorry. Because I was thinking like, yo, tricking Big E, that might help him get a new identity, but I'm sorry. Raw. Mid-card face. This should be a lot easier.
Matter of fact, I'll just give you one off the bat because I want to see them two wrestle.
Okay.
AJ Styles.
Damn, we were thinking AJ Styles.
There we go. AJ Styles. AJ Styles versus Mello. I think that would be great. I know that would be great, right? Mm-hmm. But Mello ain't going to be taking no hits from AJ Styles, you know what I'm saying, all the time when it's not a match. Yeah. So who needs to run up in the ring and try to fight AJ Styles while Mello was outside the ring like, oh, that's Trick.
Yeah.
That's Trick. That's it. If anybody says they want to see a Trick Williams wrestling match, that means you really like black men and you think Trick is sexy.
Yo.
There's not a nigga out here other than his family that's gonna say, man, I want to see a Trick Williams match. Shit's gonna be amazing. Nah. Not at all. So, but to NXT's case, it was something missing about last night, Kent.
Okay.
I think they did a great job. I think the pay-per-view or premium live event, I think it was nice. But you know what NXT is missing to me?
What's that?
A championship match that we really give a damn about.
Mm. Okay.
I think Bron Breakker has been in championship matches that we was just like, it's Bron Breakker.
Right.
But we didn't care about the match last night with JD McDonagh and Dragunov. And don't get me wrong, I fuck with Dragunov heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But Dragunov was doing this thing at NXT UK. We ain't really give a fuck about that shit. I know you didn't.
Yeah, you know it.
So I don't think we really gave a damn about the championship match last night. It could have very well just been a handicap match, them two versus Bron Breakker, even though it was a banger of a match. We didn't give a damn. When was the last NXT championship match, heavyweight championship match, that you really gave a damn about?
You know, I could be short-sighted here, but I'm thinking Drew McIntyre Andrade.
God damn.
I'm thinking it's that far back. No, well, that's unfair because Adam Cole has some good matches.
I'd say that's a long time ago, friend. Yeah. You know, Karrion Kross did go against Keith Lee before after that.
that's true, but it's like, do I care because Keith Lee is black, or do I care because that's a great moment in NXT happened?
Nah.
See, that's why I was like, you know what? I was kind of
Touche, nigga.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and don't get me wrong, and that's not to say that every match after that wasn't a good or great match, but just like you said, why do I care?
Right.
Like, why? And I don't know. I didn't even understand why I was invested into the Drew Andrade match. But then Drew got hurt, and then Andrade got moved up, and I was like, "Oh, maybe that's why." Maybe that's why. And I'm sure it's maybe some other ones in there, but honestly, I can't think of them because, again,
well, I know you can't. I know why you're not thinking about one, because this is the one that I think about is the last one that I cared about.
Okay. I'm sure we're going to the same. I'm sure we're in the same wavelength now. But yeah, go ahead so I can get my shit off.
Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano. You damn right,
fuck dude. Cause fuck dude. So hey, you know what? So on that point, you're right. But I'm never gonna be like, yo, the fuck. Like, I love watching everything but the ending of the Tommaso Gargano feud.
Yeah.
Shit fucked up.
Yeah, Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano was the last one that I really was invested in. And the amount of near falls kind of almost packed my bags and left. And I was like, come on, fam. We know. Stop it now. You know what I'm saying? But that was the last NXT heavyweight championship match that I was truly invested in.
Mm.
I don't think that for me, well, at least for me, I have not been invested in a championship match for NXT since then. And I think that in order for NXT to get back really to where we once had them, it's not about changing the colors of the logo. It's not about going from black and gold to in living color to white and gold or whatever this shit is right now. It's not about the look and the feel of the arena and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. To me, it's about the championship matches. To me, it's about the emotion that Wes Lee had when he won that belt. But can Wes Lee make us care about him when he's defending that shit? You know what I'm saying? We care about that moment at that time because it was like, damn, he made it. He got a week. We thought he was going to be gone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now he's the North American champion. So what goes on after that? I think Mandy Rose is another one too. Like Mandy Rose is killing it down to NXT, but she ain't going up against Sasha and Charlotte and Bayley and Becky Lynch. She don't got that down there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So You know, it almost in a sense is like, yo, shit, you basically down there having WWE superstars matches for title matches.
and all of this is the difference in watching pro wrestling versus watching sports entertainment. Man. Because, you know, obviously the champ is the champ, but the other part of what makes the champ is the person that gets themselves over to face the champ.
Right. And to that credit, like, they didn't, it wasn't really teased like it was, you know, on Tuesday, but Austin Theory coming out there with the Money in the Bank, it made us go, oh shit, would he cash in down there?
Hey, and you know what? So now I got to retract, because you know what? I didn't watch all of NXT, but I seen that clip and was like, oh shit, immediately invested.
Because, you know, he ain't beating Roman for the shit.
Right. And again, the boos are too much. Eight times, that's what's going to happen every time. But when he came to NXT, different energy.
There you go.
Different energy.
So, yeah, so they could go that route. But I think, and if they go that route, I definitely don't mind Melo going to the main roster, because I don't need him just down there, NXT, just to be down there. But if they don't go that route, because I have a guarantee.
Okay.
Just with that. And I'll just throw it out there right now. I guarantee Austin Theory will be your next NXT heavyweight champion. Because of everything that you just said. And it would not shock me or surprise me if it happens on Tuesday.
Wow.
Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to cash it in. You're going to cash it in on the day of a show.
Right.
Of a weekly show. And somebody's going to be talking to Bron. Bron is going to be, they're going to be like, yo, who's next for Bron Breakker? And he's going to be talking, you know, giving his Steiner talk and everything. Dragunov or J.D. McDonough, or hell, Melo, go beat his ass. And then next thing you know, here comes Austin Theory with the shit, and he cashes in and becomes your new NXT heavyweight champion. I see that happening before I see him losing the Money in the Bank, trying to go after Roman Reigns. Because there's another one, too. He's on a little bit of a losing streak on that main roster. Now, tea leaves have always been, and go look back, that when you get the Money in the Bank and you hold it for a little bit, you go on a little bit of a losing streak, and then next thing you know, you win it. Well, that's just not happening on Smack. It's not happening. It's not happening to Gunther. It's not happening to Seth Rollins. If you look at it, this is probably the strongest the WWE has been title-wise when it comes to all of the people that hold the belts on the main roster. But Austin Theory versus Bron Breakker, that may smack, ladies and gentlemen. But the only way it smacks is if Bron Breakker loses it, and now he has to chase him. So that's why that's my guarantee, and it can happen as soon as this Tuesday with Austin Theory cashing in against Bron Breakker. Somebody got to whoop his ass and make him incapacitated for that to happen. We know that happens all of the time on all of the shows on the main roster. So, hey, he can have his Dolph Ziggler moment.
There you go.
He can have his Edge moment, all of that. But long term, though, before we move on, long term, though, I love hearing what Shawn Michaels is saying about Carmelo Hayes, because in a while, you're going to have to start looking at what's going to happen in 2024, 2025, 2026. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that shit seems so far away, but it ain't. Because there's many people that should become free agents who are currently in AEW. Don't have to say any names on that. And then you have other people like a Melo, like a Bron Breakker, and others that are currently in NXT that we hope that can be boosted up by then and be contenders or be champions. So, and then by that time, some of the people that we're currently seeing right now will probably be part-time. So this is going to be interesting. And it is interesting to see with Shawn Michaels, how he is praising Carmelo Hayes. But it goes to show you, man, that man ain't missed since he's been up in the main roster. From winning tournaments to winning the NXT championship, beating Swerve Scott. So, and it's good to see black champions beat black people to become champion. That's the other part, too. I keep that in the family.
Yeah, man. Hey, again, a great time to be a wrestling fan in this era, because not only have we never seen seven black champions, we definitely didn't see them, most of them competing against each other.
Yeah, yeah, that's so. let's before we move on, let's say that one part again, because I think that is very important.
Yeah. Hey, it is a great time to be a fan of wrestling if you are black, because not only do y'all have seven black champions for one title, and we never had that, y'all also get a chance to see the black champs lose to each other, which we never saw.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to, like, yo, I am 41 years old. And in the 36 years that I was watching wrestling, I've never seen black people just beat each other for any title.
Yeah, like, and this is the air for that. Because Big E beating Bobby Lashley for us was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's the poke of doom, ladies and gentlemen. That's the poke of doom. That is the equivalent to Hulk Hogan poking Kevin Nash in the eye and winning the belt. Like, oh, keep it in the family. Staying in the NWO, huh? All right, bet. Hey. And seeing Melo and all of the black champions hold this, this belt is young, and again, it has more black champions with that belt than pretty much all of the belts that we've seen in our lifetime. So,
right.
So I don't know who decision that was. I don't know if this definitely wasn't planned, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think nobody was like, yo, it's a brown belt, so give it to the brown people. I don't think that was the case. I don't think that was the case at all. But for all the decision makers in NXT, hey, thank y'all for making the North American champion the black belt for numerous amount of reasons that we don't have to get into. Just go ahead and go to history class. North American belt is the black belt. Shouts out to y'all at NXT. Wow. All right, man, let's move on over to Raw, man. Raw kicked off kind of great the other day, because it's always great when the black man whoops a white man's ass.
Hey.
Because normally it's the other way around. Yeah. Especially when it comes to Brock Lesnar.
Man.
Because Bobby Lashley is the first black man that we saw beat Brock Lesnar. So,
a lot of first here. A lot of first here.
But this is also the first time we saw a black dude really just handle Brock Lesnar. I don't know what's gotten into Brock Lesnar. Maybe he went through some sensitivity training, some race classes or something. But he letting this black man whoop his ass like that is shock. I think the white people in the audience was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, dude, man.
This wouldn't happen in Vince's WWE.
Oh, yeah. Now, hey, look, now y'all got one. Now y'all got one. Vince ain't letting that happen. That ain't going down like that.
Black man beat Bobby Lashley's ass like that? Oh, get the fuck up out of here. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that happened on the Raw, because Brock Lesnar came out there and Bobby Lashley promptly brought his ass out there and beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar, threw him into the ring announce joint table. Man,
hey, invite him out there and beat his ass.
Yes. So, with that being said, this makes that match the main event to me at Saudi Mania 4 or 5. Yeah. One of them. Is this now your main event? Because we already know Logan Paul is losing to Roman Reigns. Yeah. That was going to happen next. Is this your main event now?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, because, I mean, these are the two big former world champion contenders colliding, right? I mean, shit, we already know, we already get an idea of what to expect. Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns is going to be like Iverson crossing over Jordan, but Jordan scoring 30 and winning the game. It's like, hey, dope ass moment for you, fam, but let me show you why you want to be like me. And that's that. So yeah, Brock, Bobby, here for it, one, because we get a solid contender for Brock Lesnar, who happens to be black. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see like a real fight, because both of them like to fight in real life as well as like in wrestling. So, throw this on last. but at the same time, even if you throw it on first, I get it.
I get it. Yeah, man, this got to end the night, man. When I look at Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns, I look at Logan Paul and Roman Reigns, like, all right, let's get the fuck in and let's get the fuck out. Same right. as that.
But you want your check, right?
Yeah, you want your check? Come on. Yeah. But this is the match where, you know, when you go into these matches right here, you know, you pretty much know who's gonna win. You know, it's to excite the crowd and all of that stuff. We get it. But I don't know what they're gonna do here. And that's what's intriguing right here. I don't know what I mean, history tells us that Brock Lesnar is going to beat Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
But here's a couple of things to add here. Ladies and gentlemen. Number one, Bobby Lashley needs his rematch against Roman Reigns for the championship. Yeah. So if he loses to Brock Lesnar, he essentially loses that luster, so to speak, because he lost the belt to Brock Lesnar. Matter of fact, this is his rematch. This is his rematch here against Brock Lesnar. And he wants that belt, and you lose that world champ, that U.S. championship, or the Raw Heavyweight Championship. You lose that for a reason. So I'm sitting here like, yo, they can't let Bobby Lashley lose to Brock Lesnar, because who Roman Reigns gonna fight next? Who is the clear-cut favorite for Roman Reigns to face for the title once he defeats Logan Paul?
I still think by default it has to be Bobby Lashley, because obviously the Elimination Chamber situation, and then, well, you also have Seth Rollins, who's the Raw Heavyweight Champion now. But even more so this. Remember the last match we seen Brock Lesnar in for SummerSlam? So, in my mind, the two guys that beat Brock Lesnar should face each other. So, that's why I got to pick Bobby. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, I'm automatically thinking Bobby Lashley wins this, and whether they have a separate match for the title at Survivor Series War Games, or they have Jimmy, Jay, Solo, and Sami Zayn go up against four other people in a War Games match, and then you have Roman go up against Bobby Lashley for the Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship. To me, you have those two matches. You have a pay-per-view, a must-watch premium live event. So you have that right there. But then you also go into, all right, man, is Brock Lesnar going to take two L's from a black dude?
I mean, it's Bobby Lashley, though. And I'm still going to stand by this. I always thought Vince thought that Bobby Lashley was white Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Paul is going to give him the chance to prove that.
I mean.
Because the other thing for me is that, say, because if they did do Lashley Reigns at Survivor Series, I would expect Lashley to lose.
Yeah.
Which would then get us set us up for the Royal Rumble. Because and what I'm getting at here is that I would love to see Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns headline the next three major premium live events: Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. That's where I'm going with
it. I mean, yeah. I mean, we know who's going to headline WrestleMania, though.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, Cody versus Roman Reigns is going to light up LA. Yeah. Like, hey, you cancel Christmas on that one. That's why I can't wait to hit the pop that Cody Rhodes get once he's number 30 at the Royal Rumble in San Antonio. Like, oh, shit, it's lit. Yeah. And that's why I don't mind seeing them at the next two.
Okay.
Main events being, you know, some finesse shit happened at Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they wrestle at the Royal Rumble because Bobby Lashley is not winning the Royal Rumble. So, you know, put him against somebody is going to be a major, you know, it's going to be a major match. But yeah, and then it's also, what do you give the crowd at Saudi Arabia? Like, what do you give that crowd?
Yeah.
Does that crowd want Brock Lesnar? I mean, last time they saw Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar lost to Roman Reigns. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you have that one. But all of those reasons, plus a bit more, like these are two big meaty men bumping meat, Pauls, is all of the reason, is all of the reason why I can't wait to see these two, and it needs to be the main event. We don't need to see Roman Reigns and Logan Paul last. We already know what's going to happen. He's going to get his frog splash off. He's going to punch him. Yeah. They're going to be like, oh, shit, did he knock him out? Like, one, two, Superman punch, spear. It's a wrap.
Yeah. Bye. That's wild that Logan Paul's signature move is the power of the punch without the knucks, though.
I guess it's the whole thing of just playing on the fact that he's a boxer.
Yeah, it's the Big Show WMD. That's what it is. He did the Big Show WMD, the overhand right.
There you go. Yeah, so man, we got that. And then also another joint to look at and pay attention to after Raw is the re-debuts of Baron Corbin, no longer.
Yeah, man.
Happy Corbin. He's back to being Baron Corbin.
Thank God.
And then Elias. But before we get to those two, shouts out to JBL. I want to shout out to JBL. Because JBL, you can already tell that JBL lost weight. But he lost weight and didn't even decide to hem up his pants. Like, he didn't decide to fix nothing. JBL was like, nope, I'm going to wear the same joints that I wore in 2000.
Yeah,
wear the same suit. We're not changing shit. All right? It's gonna be back as hell. He was out here looking like he was in the NBA draft and shit. Like, it was wild out there, ladies and gentlemen. It was looking like Steve Harvey at Showtime at the Apollo. It was wild. Yeah. But Baron Corbin back is Baron Corbin, and then you got Elias. Out of the two, which one do you feel is going to prosper the most in their situations?
Because of the setup, I gotta go Baron Corbin. Because let's just be honest, man, Elias has had bigger and better debuts than this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think JBL doing what he did on Raw, even though he came out there with the sweatpants suit, which women picked up instantly. Hey, yo, why he got on? First, it was why he got on boot cut. Oh, wait, no, those are wide leg.
Yeah, wide.
Oh, wait, I was like, yo, I was like, okay, look, his suit trash. I get it. Like, who the fuck is this? And I was like, okay, I'll educate you after the break.
Yeah, it looked like my man was hiding two kids in that suit.
Yeah, man.
Like, you seen Little Rascals? Like, yeah. It looked like three like kids Stimey stood on. There, right, it looked like three kids stood on top of each other.
Oh, shit.
And had on a suit, and they got themselves out of class for the day.
Yeah, man. But you know, Baron Corbin, I think again, just being very consistent at who he is as just a sports entertainer, and I think JBL on the side just makes it an even greater instance. Now, I will say, I was expecting better ring gear. I was expecting. I was expecting better ring gear. I was expecting the clothesline from hell. I was literally expecting him to come out even in the suits that he'd normally be wearing and then take it off and wrestle. But we didn't get that. And I don't know why. And maybe the buildup is maybe towards that. But bang, you know what? I gotta pick Baron Corbin because of how we started the show over five years ago at this point. Because I famously said that Baron Corbin would be one of the two guys that would headline WrestleMania 40.
You was on a whole ass limb with that one.
Yeah, and you know what? Big Cass and Baron Corbin were supposed to be my WWE Championship main event for WrestleMania 40. And we saw what happened. But when you really look at Baron Corbin's total career, Was I truly wrong about him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's why JBL is here to be like, ah, you know what? He was just missing this.
He was just missing me.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, and obviously with the shape that the current WWE is in with Roman Reigns holding both titles, do I see him headlining WrestleMania 40? I mean, I can't front, no. But boy, if the title split and one makes it to Raw with the current Raw roster as we see it, hell yes, I see it happening for him. So I have to pick Baron Corbin just to stand on my original word. But also, though, I just can't front again. Elias has just looked better in his debuts and returns than he did last week.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Baron Corbin also, but I'm going to echo the same joints that you just said and go a little bit further. Yes, I was expecting different music.
Yeah.
I was expecting different ring gear. I was expecting the Baron in Baron Corbin. I was expecting the clothesline from hell to be the setup move for his finisher.
Mm-hmm.
I expected a more, it's still Happy Corbin.
Yeah.
Like what actually changed here? Like it's
the damn Spuds McKenzie shirts. That's what changed. I mean, you know?
Hey, that's going to forever be funny that you called them joint the Spud McKenzie shirts, because if you old enough to know, like, if you old enough to know, my man be out here was out here with all of the fly, all of the fly Hawaiian shirts, you know, what was it, Bud Light or Old Style, whatever?
Yeah,
it's wild with Budweiser. Nah, it was Budweiser because McKenzie was doing.
Yeah, Buzz was Bud. Yeah,
yeah, because he was doing the commercials with Harry Carey and shit too. Man, we old fam. I was expecting all of that, man. I was expecting new gear, new music, you like new a little bit of additions to the move set. I was expecting all of those, and if all of those things happen in the coming weeks, that's good. But I was expecting when JBL made the change from Bradshaw to, hey, man, you're going to get fired like Buddy ass.
Yeah.
So go switch it up. And then the next week, we found out how rich he was.
Right.
The difference is Happy Corbin got rich off of gambling.
Yeah.
JBL got rich off of hard work, ingenuity, and oil, and stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was thinking. Like, JBL, when JBL came to pick him up, I thought JBL was going to teach Buddy how to flip his money and stay rich.
Hey, listen.
We here, right?
Yeah.
I thought he was gonna flip it. This is how you stay rich. You won this off of this, but this is how we going to do. And you going to come out here and you going to be basically me. And he wasn't going to have the same music as JBL, but it was going to be something similar. And he was going to be happy, but his happiness wasn't so happy-go-lucky. Hey, it was, all right, man, I'm rich out here. I'm a billionaire, and I will clothesline the shit out of you.
Right. Yeah.
And then
I'm no longer fighting for my life. I'm just proving that I'm better at you at beating your ass and at making money.
Bingo. That's what, and then with them changing the name back to Baron Corbin, again, I was expecting the Baron come out of Baron Corbin.
Yeah, man.
That's what I was expecting. All I got was Happy Corbin with JBL and big ass suits.
Yeah.
But it was much better than Elias on the keyboards this time.
Yeah, man.
Like, you know, we went from the guitar to now the keyboard.
Yeah.
And Riddle coming down with the bongos. I'm straight on that.
Yeah.
I need Evil Honky Tonk Man back.
Man.
So unless Evil Honky Tonk Man is in the back, he about to beat everybody else, it's going to be Baron Corbin. I just need them to fix that character and remove the happiness away from him and make him rich and arrogant.
Yeah.
And cocky. And not happy cocky. No. Go look at them JBL tapes, G, and be that.
Yeah, man.
In a sense. Be the future president of the cabinet.
Yeah.
Not, hey, man, we out here still getting it. Like, nah, we straight on that.
Because now, at this point, Orlando Jordan is still the best person under JBL ever. He's still the best. He's still number one.
Ain't even close. Hothead Jey Uso, man. The hothead Jey Uso is coming back to play, and this is going to be interesting because he was explicitly told by Sami Zayn that the Tribal Chief said not to mess with Logan Paul. He said, we'll see about that. Mm-hmm. He went to beat the shit out of Logan Paul. Sami Zayn was like, nah, fam, stop it. We got to go back. And then Logan Paul knocked him out, thus embarrassing the bloodline on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So Sami Zayn is at fault. Jey Uso, who's at fault? How does this where are we headed with this piece of the storyline being back and him now specifically being a hothead? Like, where is this going? Is he Ken Shamrock?
Well, no, I don't think so, but well, I'll tell you where we are. Where we're headed is Sami Zayn versus Jey Uso. Like, that's where we headed. Because the Tribal Chief is specifically saying, hey, you need to handle this. Like, you're the honorary. You said you wanted to, you know, be down. And I gave you a shirt. Like, fam, do something about this. I don't have time for this. But let me tell you where we are.
Where we at?
We are, again, in the fourth quarter. And Jey Uso is in the best storyline in wrestling. Like, that is where we are again. That is, let nothing distract you from that fact, ladies and gentlemen. We are once again in the fourth quarter after the season premieres in wrestling. And Jey Uso is in the best storyline in wrestling today. And that's got to account for something really soon. I don't know how they're going to maneuver it because, no, I do not see Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. But he got to get something out of this because now it's twice. Now it's twice and you ain't near headlined to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't. Like, you've main evented some SmackDowns, and I think they have main evented some of the B-tier pay-per-views. But now it's time to talk, which was already my goddamn teeth from a little while back. Jey Uso's going to be one of the last four guys left in the Royal Rumble. I'm calling that. I've already called that, and that's my goddamn teeth double down this week, is that Jey Uso's going to be one of the last four in the Royal Rumble. But yeah, man, you can't, it's not a fluke because Roman wasn't on TV and he ain't been on TV and Jey Uso is still getting the bloodline the fuck over. The entire bloodline is the fuck over and it's Jey Uso. Even though Sami Zayn, I'm not shortchanging Sami Zayn, but all the Samoans is over because of Jey Uso.
And it don't help, man, that Solo Sikoa got the biggest win of his career against Sheamus. I was shocked at that. I was thinking, like, maybe a disqualification or some shit like that. Yeah. When he beat Sheamus, I said to myself, yeah, I could see them moving Solo with Jimmy and Jay being a solo act in some type of way. And one thing that crossed my mind, I don't know if it's going to happen like this, but one thing that did cross my mind was if The Rock is indeed slated to go up against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40 in LA. Is Jay the person who brings The Rock back?
Hey, listen. Because if the timeline is correct, Jay was the first in, right?
Yeah.
So technically, Jey Uso came right behind The Rock. And he brought Jimmy and Tamina. That's how it really went.
And if this is going to be a bloodline storyline, the bloodline have to be split. Or somebody has to be like, all right, y'all got to fight now. Because now it's too much infighting in the crib. Yeah. So is Jay the person that brings the infighting, which leads to The Rock in Rome? It's so much shit. Or is Cody just going to win the Royal Rumble when he go up against Roman? It's
well, you know what? Actually, no, you know what? Because of how the changing of the guard has happened. No, you know who has to call The Rock?
Who that?
Jimmy. Jimmy has to call The Rock.
Jimmy has to call The Rock because he's in the middle.
Again. Because while he was injured and away for the personal reasons, Jimmy and Roman went at it. He got back. Remember, one of the best moments in, what did they call that shit? The cyberspace?
The Thunderdome.
In Thunderdome history was them redoing the fucking scene from like Poetic Justice or something, like, or Boys in the Hood or something. I don't know. One of the movies. I don't remember. Or Juice. Maybe it's Juice. But Jimmy was in the middle of that. And then Jimmy comes back and was like, yo, no, you tripping. But now Jay's against him. So now it's two against one. Mm. So Jimmy falls in line. Everybody gets better. Everybody gets stronger. Everybody reaches success. But now Jay's tripping. And if you ever notice, he don't really agree with Roman. He's just trying to stay out Roman way. So
he just like, all right, man, you the tribal chief.
Yep. Hey, and he cool with the white boy. So there you go. And of course, his little brother won't tell him anything. But again, Jimmy just stays out the way. So Jimmy has to call The Rock to be like, yo, you know, you the big oos though. I know the tribal chief, but you the big oos though. You got to come fix this. And there's your story. Insert The Rock. First black champ, man. You hear me?
Hey, man, I like that better than some of the other shit that I thought about, so I'm going to set the fuck up with that. And then Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy has a message for the WWE. Bray Wyatt, this was definitely not the Bray Wyatt that was, you know, all emotional and shit.
Yeah.
This Bray Wyatt basically was like, all right.
I guess out now.
Yeah. Fucking shit up.
Yeah.
And I'm not apologizing for it. And then it was a QR code when Uncle Howdy came where it was a psych evaluation. I don't know if you saw that.
Not.
It was a psych evaluation in the QR code that popped up later in the show that basically was like, hey, man, dude is void of all emotional attachments. Basically, just get a whoop ass and leave. My question to you is the same as last week. Mm-hmm. But now, since we're slowly getting introduced to the Howdy character, mm-hmm. and then Grayson Waller last night tweets out, let me in. And mm-hmm. We have all of these people, like with Liv Morgan, going crazy, and everybody's like, oh, this is... And then there's the reports that Bo Dallas is coming back. Karrion Kross said, if the fans want me in the Wyatt Six, then let's get it. But I'm going to ask the question again. Mm-hmm. Do we need another faction in the WWE, no matter who is the leader?
I'm still going to say no. Because now, especially if you're pairing Bray Wyatt and Karrion Kross, potentially... Like, and a Grayson Waller, and it's like, yo, okay, and even Liv though, because the new, I will admit, SmackDown was the first time Liv had truly been interesting to me from start to finish, and not because of her outfit.
All right, not because of the ankles.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So, but yeah, it just becomes too much. And you know what? Listening to Jim Cornette's podcast, and dude, I think his name is Brian. I always forget my man's name every time I want to mention him. He brought up something that I did say years ago when Bray lost at WrestleMania to John Cena. And And it honestly gives me pause for cause of thinking maybe Bray does need a faction. Mm. And his stance was this: you're going to get great character, great talking, great story from Bray Wyatt. But he said his words, his wrestling is going to be shit. Like, you're not getting great matches even from a sports entertainment aspect. Like, he's not a great worker. And I was like, oh, shit. He kind of is going in. But when I went through my mental Rolodex and every single Bray Wyatt character is chock full of moments.
Yeah.
There is no necessarily great matches. Now, I think back to how we wanted to see the Shield versus the Wyatt family. And that's really because I really wanted to see who Luke Harper was going to clothesline the fuck out of first. And specifically how Seth Rollins was going to land when it happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I wanted to see. It had nothing to do with Bray Wyatt being in the ring. So then I was like, well, shit. Maybe, just maybe, he does need somebody around him that can really work to get this off. But fast forwarding now to Friday, if you just gonna go in there and just start beating people the fuck up, well, you don't need much for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he kind of seemed like he was gonna be like Cobra or some shit, or like he was gonna be like Steven Seagal in one of them Seagal ass kick an elbow and break finger movies. He kind of sounded like he was gonna do that with just like no pistol.
Yeah.
So, but I'm still gonna stick with no, because now, I mean, star-studded factions. I mean, the only one that kind of worked to me is like the Main Event Mafia, kinda. I mean, yeah. DX works because Triple H wasn't Triple H. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't Triple H yet. Like, yeah. He was still. I'm going to give a caveat here. I don't think that he should be in a faction, but I do believe that his brother should be with him. I'm not sure that Bray Wyatt is Uncle Howdy.
Uncle Howdy's just a wild name. I'm sorry.
It is. I feel like Bo Dallas is Uncle Howdy.
Mm.
I feel like is the brother. And I think Bo is the oldest, correct?
I think so.
But I feel like it's the brother that's pulling the strings here. And you're not going to get a tag team, so to speak. You're going to get Wyatt in all his splendor with his brother. And you're going to get both of them together. And mm-hmm. I think, because Uncle Howdy reminds me somewhat of Bo Leave.
Mm.
I can't place it, but it just reminds me when he started talking on Friday, I was like, yeah, this demonic Bo Leave, man. This demonic Bo Leave. I don't think Bray Wyatt needs all of those people with him. And then I'll say this again. Somebody tell me a great Undertaker match in the early days of Taker. A great one. All of those were moments.
Mm.
Like, we don't look back at the Undertaker versus Yokozuna and be like, oh, this is a great-ass match. Oh, man, this is amazing. We don't look at Undertaker versus Mabel and go, this is 5 stars. Right. We don't start saying that shit until he go up against Batista. We don't look at any of those WrestleMania matches before Batista and go, oh, man, these some great-ass matches, fam. This is amazing. Man. This is awesome. We don't do that at all, but we talk about the moments. We talk about the Undertaker dying, then saying he'll be back. We talk about the urn being open and the smoke coming out. We talk about body bag Undertaker.
Yeah.
We talk about Undertaker getting up after Kamala splashes him off the top rope a couple of times, and Kamala like, I'm getting the fuck up out of here. We don't talk about, yo, these some amazing-ass Undertaker matches. Until Batista, until Kurt Angle with No Way Out, until Shawn Michaels 1 and 2 against Triple H 1 and 2. We're not talking this great Undertaker match and stuff. We're talking about great moments, and that's all I need from Bray Wyatt. But what I also don't need from Bray Wyatt is a whole bunch of people playing a whole bunch of roles. Don't need that.
Yeah.
Don't need that at all. I don't need a buzzard. I don't need a chick in a black veil. I don't need a pig. I don't need none of that. I need him to give me great moments within a match that carries over. Don't need 5 stars from Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
All I need is quality, entertaining things that I'm going to talk about on Sunday or Monday. That's all I need from Buddy. And before we get out of here, got to talk about what happened on Wednesday in AEW. Adam Hangman Page. Tuesday.
Yeah.
But Adam Hangman Page versus Jon Moxley in Cincinnati for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, man.
It was a good match. It was a good match, but it ended quite scary after Adam Hangman Page took a clothesline from Jon Moxley, and he didn't get up. And you even saw Moxley praying. You saw a lot of concern. They took down they let loose the bottom rope so the stretcher could get there. You could tell it was a lot of things that was being pieced together. MJF came out there. You know, he started, you know, doing his thing. And he officially challenged Jon Moxley for Full Gear in November. I think the 19th for the AEW World Championship. But it was somebody on Twitter that, you know, it was a clip, I think, of TK saying that they don't have any, like, training structure, like, say, some shit like that.
Duh, motherfucker.
And then they start showing all of the crazy bumps, the unhealthy bumps, or the most dangerous moments that people have gotten hurt. And then you add that to the controversy around Athena's match on AEW Dark, which, yeah, it was a stiff match. I'm not really thinking, while she Coco Beware Shorty.
Yeah.
I wasn't like Shorty did some shit in the back and she whooped ass. Like, apparently Shorty notoriously worked stiff. So it was a stiff match. But at the same time, they're stiff and they're safety. So my question to you is, how do we fix the safety issues or the perceived safety issues in AEW?
By implementing safety and performance centers and training and fucking like all of the shit that they think makes the WWE soft or not as good, if we're just being honest. Because humans are getting their bodies hurt. Some of them permanently on the low. They just not confirming it. And that's not what any of us, no matter what organization you like more or as much or whatever, we're not in it for that, fam. Like, we not. The things that happen monthly, okay? The things that happen monthly in AEW should not be happening. Like, it's why the ER exists. You know what I'm saying? It's why I caught the shit backyard wrestling with the budget a long time ago. And I'm standing by it because you've seen the way people get hurt. But also, though, Bang, I think that if all of the wrestlers, male or female, they just took it upon themselves to dial back until the pay-per-views, I think we'd see less casualty, you know, happening or just less injury. Because you think about it, I remember when that the clothesline that caused the backflip was only done by like Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, Kane sometimes. Like, you had to be at least 6'7", or at least 300 pounds.
6'8", 300 pounds to make somebody do that.
Yes. But now, Daniel Bryan getting it off. And it's like, wait, okay, hold up, bro. Not even if I wasn't ready, fam. No. It's just like, nah. And I think that week in and week out, they're trying to get the moment spot, the 5-star bump, the it, and it's just over, it's oversaturation of it to the point where one, sometimes it's sloppy, but it's also dangerous. It's like, if you're going to do all that, then what do we got for all out, all in, double or nothing? Like, what are we going to do if we're getting that kind of shit on Dynamite or on Rampage weekly from everybody too? It's not like it's just a certain character that does it. It's the whole damn roster.
Yeah.
And I think more than anything, that's the real issue. It's like, yo, man, y'all don't never dial it back. Like, give us some ring psychology. Give us some buildup to why if we do this match again, then you'll do this move or you'll do this spot or whatever. That's my thought.
Yeah. Vince McMahon notoriously banned moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for that. And, it's true.
And Vince McMahon notoriously said that only big men do this or only small men do that because of where... what looks right to the viewer.
Yeah.
Like, the performance center and everything is so new. But I think the only way for AEW to become more safer or be perceived to be more safer, I'm going to continue to use perceived because we might see these things and we perceive it to be one thing, but they're the professionals. They might say, nah, we're okay. But the perception to some people is reality. I hate using that term, but I'll use it here, that to some people, perception is reality. So the perception is AEW is unsafe. The perception is part of the reason why they're unsafe because of move sets and allowed move sets, who's allowed to do what. It's to me, the overlying thing here, not the underlying, the overlying thing is is that we don't want to be professional. We don't want to be sports entertainment. We want to be professional wrestling. And the majority of the time, you're going to get professional wrestling where? In the indie circuit. I challenge anybody to go to an indie show, and you see some of the moves and everything that is done in an indie show, and you'd be like, damn. Y'all sure y'all want to do that?
Right.
Nigga, I go to work tomorrow. Like,
right,
he got to go to work, like his regular job.
Yeah, facts.
Tomorrow, because you want to satisfy a crowd of 200-300, you're likely to do some wild shit. And I think AEW is taking that type of thinking along with wanting to be professional wrestling and not sports entertainment. And they've brought it to AEW. Now, the one thing I will say is this ain't America. I mean, this is America. This ain't Japan. I say this one more time. This is America. This ain't Japan. In Japan, you go watch New Japan Pro Wrestling or even Stardom with the women or anything. Go watch Pro Wrestling Noah. Go watch all of these indie or overseas joints. Go watch the joints in England, they work stiff. We're not used to that in America.
Yeah.
We're not used to a clothesline looking like a real clothesline.
Yeah.
We're not looking at power drivers and being like, yo, this really looked like he broke his neck.
Yeah.
Because you can do that shit more likely than other shits. And that's what I think we got to look at because of that reason. Like, yo, a lot of these people are used to working all over the world.
Yeah.
But only in Japan and Europe, I see people as stiff as they be now. In Mexico, should be looking cold.
Yeah.
It don't look like except for the exception of some moves, but it be death-defying ass moves that still look great. But if I clothesline you, again, like the clothesline that mocks through, it's really for people that's 6'5", cockswole, or 6'7", 300 pounds and up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Power drivers, like when people do the Canadian Destroyer, the man, flipping pile driver.
Yeah, man.
That's normally for people like Petey Williams size.
Yeah.
You know, big ass dudes ain't doing, we're not doing that.
Yeah, you're not even supposed to do that move if you're like 245, right, let alone 280. Right.
When I saw Keith Lee do the whisper in the, when I saw Keith Lee do the Spanish fly for the first time, I was scared.
Yeah, man.
Like, yo, somebody gonna die here.
Right.
I don't care if he's doing it to Dominik Dukovic.
Right.
And they the same height. Keith Lee, 300 and so pounds.
Right.
That's not supposed to be a Keith Lee move. And somebody will look at us and be like, man, Vader and Bam Bam Bigelow was doing moonsaults. And I'd be like, yeah. And I felt the same way then. Like, because if you slip, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
I think that more common sense needs to be put in with these moves. And part of that common sense is it should only be used in certain spots, certain periods. We don't need to see Keith Lee do a Spanish fly every Wednesday.
Exactly. And I was going to say that's the other thing about specifically like your Vaders and Bam Bam Bigelows. Every WCW Saturday night, Vader didn't do a moonsault. And neither did every Nitro or every Raw. He didn't even do it every In Your House. So, like, it ain't even the fact that they can do it and we saying we shouldn't do it because they so big. We're just saying, like, okay, if you're going to break that out, fam, break that out when the world going to see it.
Right.
And we be like, oh, shit, that was the highlight of this premium live event. Or that was the highlight of this championship match. Bang and I grew up in a time where the special moves came out during title matches.
Man.
And it made all the sense in the world, from special entrances, the special ring gear, and special moves. Now, everybody doing that shit every single week or every month, and it's losing the luster of like, okay, man, they added something new to this. It's like, yo, if you just here to, like I say, mash all the buttons and get all your moves off every single week, then why do we need to come and see you? See, this is the other aspect of getting over, and also why wrestling ticket sales are the way they are, and why attendance goes down, and also why ratings go down. Because at this point, you could specifically look at a lot of the AEW superstars, and depending on who's the card, you can be like, oh, I seen him do everything already. I don't even need to see homie right now. Or I don't even need to see homegirl because, no, they did all that on Matt Hardy. They did all of that on Orange Cassidy. I seen Adam Cole get all this off. I watched the Young Bucks do this already. So,
yeah,
when you don't have anything that people are anticipating seeing, and granted, people can be great wrestlers, but when you blow your load every single week, and it's 52 weeks in the year, what you expect us to do by week 17?
Bingo. I think if AEW just need to save shit for the pay-per-view.
Yeah,
they need to save matches for the pay-per-view. They need to save moves for the pay-per-view. They need to save all of that stuff for the pay-per-view, because not only does it not look special, because you're doing it all of the goddamn time, it looks even more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you do that, I think you fix a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And that's just my opinion. Like, I don't need to see what I end up seeing every week.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm a fan, if I'm a P1, I'm going to tune in. Mm-hmm. Without you trying to kill somebody.
Yeah.
I'm going to tune in because I just like the product in general.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all.
Yeah. And from a match standpoint, I want to be clear. I'm not even mad that Moxley versus Hangman Adam Page happened on Dynamite, because I do think that is a TV headlining match for their roster. But Moxley MJF should only happen at a pay-per-view in my eyes. Adam Cole versus Moxley, or Kenny Omega versus a Jericho. Like, they're like, they have certain guys where it's like, yo, we're only talking up this match, and we're only doing this match at our main events and our pay-per-views. I'm sorry, at our pay-per-views or premium live events. We'll get all this other shit off during the weeks. Yep. And I think that's the other part about this. I think Daniel Bryan has been in some matches that could have made them a lot more money had they just moved it 2 weeks.
I'm just tired of Daniel Bryan. I'm tired of Bryan Danielson losing matches and not winning shit. Like, this is confusing to me at this point. So.
But hey, he just wants to wrestle.
That's right? True.
See what happens when you just want to wrestle, ladies and gentlemen? You see it?
Man, that's true. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't know how to make this company be more safer, but I do think that the company has to stop using the spectacular moves every week.
Yeah, man.
Don't need to do all that, man.
Yeah. I think, so, like, correct me if I'm wrong, because even if you don't go to the performance center, right?
Right.
There's countless documentaries about how, like, Brian Kendrick just got people wrestling and practicing.
But that's supposed to happen already.
Yeah, in some garage. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's supposed to happen already. They, if you notice, with some of the people that they've re-signed, they've also made them, like, coaches and trainers, so to speak. But it's almost like they sign you to another deal and then, like, yo, this is your big brother.
Yeah.
It's almost like they have a big brothers and big sisters program. Like, I don't know, but yeah.
Well, dig it. We need B-roll because there's no way that all these motherfuckers should be getting hurt if they got that, bro. Like, unless we just like, oh, you know what? I know, or I'm just going to practice my hurricanrana, even though it's a Frankensteiner. And we're just going to do that all day. It's like, no, we're not doing that. So, I don't know. It's half of it is also repetition and practice, but yeah, it's also like, yo, bringing it out like one day at a time. Like, Jeff Hardy didn't jump off 20-foot ladders every week on Raw, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it was the special nights.
Yeah.
So they got to chill off that, man. It was the special nights, though, but we'll see, man. But Adam Hangman Page says he's okay.
That's good.
I think he said he went out for sherbet or some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to my grandma, man. Rest in peace. Right. He loved sherbet.
You know what I'm saying? So he said he had sherbet or some shit. You know, everything's cool. You know what I'm saying? But we'll see. I will say this. AEW, the way that they went out and serviced that man, helped that man out, got him in, got him out, you know, made sure that he was protected, you know what I'm saying, when all of that happened. Salute to the company for that.
Yeah,
you know, the NFL could have did what they did, and you know, Tua probably would have been okay. But
yeah, man.
Well, not the NFL, but the Miami Dolphins could have did it. But no, it's like, I'm not okay. No, shouts out to AEW for that. All right, man. Before we get out of here, guarantees. I already said my guarantee. I believe Austin Theory is going to cash in his Money in the Bank on Bron Breakker as early as this Tuesday on NXT.
Okay. My guarantee this week is I guarantee you that they are trying to push Ronda Rousey as version 1 1996 Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it's going to be the ultimate gauge to see if she really knows sports entertainment or not. If you all caught the last promo, she definitely took the "I don't care who likes me or not, and that's the bottom line" approach. And I want to see how that works on the actual crowd, not just backstage with Kayla. Because I think they did find a good groove for Ronda Rousey. And we've obviously seen Austin McMahon, the super value, you know, or true value, or the great value, or the sweet valley version, whatever off brand you want to use between her and Adam Pierce. You know, she was doing the whole anti-establishment thing and it worked, but now she has the title and now we know Adam Pierce is not going to fight a woman. So with that said, where do we go from here? I kind of think this is one of the last ditch efforts to get Ronda Rousey over for what they paid, what they spend, and what they promote. So expect her to be a lot like 1996 Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's my guarantee this week.
Well, look, I definitely was listening to that promo and was like, all right, where the fuck they about to go here?
Yeah, man.
I thought this was a double turn, but then now we're doing a double turn again. So
yeah, man. No more open challenges either, man. See, that's...
Yeah, that's weak.
It's, and it's weak only because we... The only open challenge that went left that got us excited happened in the 80s when the Honky Tonk Man said, bring somebody out here, I don't care who it is. And then dum 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 happened, and then he lost his belt before you could make microwave popcorn.
Yeah, and man, and other than that, is John Cena and Kevin Owens.
Yes, and even then, it's like not for a title. my whole thing is, man, just say motherfuckers ain't over. And be like, yo, I'm gonna wait for people to get over, so I'm in the back, and when I think one of y'all over, then I'm gonna start coming out here and beating y'all ass. I would love that angle more from any champ, not just the SmackDown Women's Champ, but for the US Champ and the Continental Champ, anybody. I'd rather take the approach where, hey, look, nobody's over, so I don't gotta work today. Y'all gotta work.
Yeah, I just rather you get people over the old-fashioned way. Build a program.
Yeah.
Build a program. I don't need Aaliyah to be wrestling Ronda Rousey because, you know, she wants to, you know, come through for the open challenge. Like, nah, yeah. I don't need some wrestler from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Right. To join the open challenge because she wants a chance to get signed with the WWE.
Yeah.
I don't need that at all. So,
no.
All right, man. End us off, man. Before let me, Liam, you want to come and talk? You want? Liam said he's good, man. He's about to go watch Mickey Mouse Club.
Hey, there you go, man. It is a great attention getter at any age. Man, we thank y'all for tuning into the show this week. Likes, comments, shares. Shout out to everybody in the comment thread, Keith Jackson, the Faction Podcast, of course. Ross was in there, and I know I'm missing a couple people because
Shout out to Faction Cast Podcast. Thank y'all for joining.
Yeah. So, you know, salute to all of you who tuned in. I seen a new number on that stream too, on that view stream this early this morning. We appreciate that as well. Hey, man. We could obviously do this show without all of you, but we definitely want you to sincerely know that your participation at any level makes it that much greater for us to do, and we appreciate you. So always know, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Champ, bang, we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.